The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Will the wage subsidy apply to me if I'm self-employed? Will I be hit with an income tax bill when the subsidy scheme ends? There's a lot of confusion around the government's measures to protect employers and workers during the coronavirus pandemic. And to help us navigate some of the detail, I'm joined now by the CEO of the Irish SME Association, Neil MacDonald. Good morning, Neil. You're very welcome.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you?
Not too bad at all.
You're all okay, are you?
All good here.
Safe and sound in your bunker. So was I until this morning, by the way. I'm in an unusual position in that I'm like most of the people at home listening to us this morning. That's where I spend most of my time. I occasionally venture into the media bubble. But anyway, good to know that you're safe. Confusion. And there does seem to be an awful lot of it about what people are eligible for, what applies to them, what doesn't, and all the rest of it. Let's just talk about the COVID-19 unemployment payment. I would imagine most people would know what to do at this stage. But in case they don't, please tell us.
This is a scheme, a wage subvention scheme that is aimed at those employers who have not laid off their workforce, who wish to keep them on. And it is available by applying to the revenue. I'm not going to go into the nitty gritty of how that is actually done because it is quite complex. But effectively what it does is it takes the workforce in a business. It does, unfortunately, for reasons we're not sure, divide them into three sort of pay brackets: those who get paid up to 38,000 gross, those who get paid between 38,000 and 76,000, and those who get paid more than 76,000. And effectively what it does for those three groups of employees is that those who normally get paid up to €586 net per week, the business can pay them up to €410 a week in a wage subsidy, but no more than 70% of what they would normally get in their weekly wages. For those who are paid more than the sort of average industrial wage, the business can pay them a flat €350 a week in a wage subsidy, which comes from the revenue. And unfortunately, those who get paid more than 76,000, there's the wage subsidy scheme does not apply at all. So that scheme is available now, and we are strongly suggesting to employers that they avail of it. At the moment, it is the only liquidity solution other than debt finance that's available.
This is actually called, this is actually called the wage subsidy scheme.
Yes, it is.
Okay, now, this scheme is solely for the benefit of employees. It's not a source of working capital for businesses, is it?
Absolutely not. So that's a very important point to make, Mark. You know, this is purely for the benefit of employees, and businesses may only spend the subsidy they get on employee wages. It absolutely can't go to anywhere else. It must be 100% diverted towards employees.
Neil, there's already stories. I don't know how true they are, but they're certainly doing the rounds, and I'm sure you've probably heard them yourself, of businesses who have applied for this but have still cut pay. So what's... morally that's not right, but legally can they do that?
When you say cut pay, I mean you're talking about an agreed cut in pay prior to applying for this?
No, my understanding is that there are businesses who have applied for the wage subsidy but who have also cut staff pay as well.
I don't doubt that that is a possibility, because don't forget there will be some businesses that will not be able to top up employee pay to their previous net, or will only be able to top it up to a certain amount. Employees do not have to agree to a pay cut. It is an adjustment to their contract terms. But the reality of it is that a great number of businesses out there today are going to be faced with a Hobson's choice, and for the employees working for them, it may be a case of the difference between a 15% or 20% pay cut or availing for the unemployment scheme. So they're the kind of real choices that exist for a lot of businesses out there today.
I'm just wondering, you know, given that the scheme is solely for the benefit of employees, if you find that in your firm that they have applied for the wage subsidy scheme and they're part of it, but they're also cutting pay, is that legal? Can they do that?
You can only, I mean, an employment contract is a contract between an employer and an employee, and it cannot be varied except by agreement between the parties. There's not a question that it's legal or illegal, it's what the parties agree. Businesses cannot unilaterally change agreed contract terms and conditions, but in many cases, they and their employees will have no option but to accept a variance in those contract terms.
Okay, moving on. In terms of the you know, various helps, aids, you know, there's the COVID-19 unemployment benefit, there's the wage subsidy scheme, there's also other various forms of social welfare coming in. Revenue have been inundated with, this is close to 500,000 applications for this. How, I mean, normally when you're dealing with that kind of numbers, it's very hard to keep tight control on it. In this instance, it's a complete and utter free-for-all, one would think. How are they going to control all of that? And how long is it going to take to sort out after we get through all of this?
Well, number of questions there. The wage subsidy scheme most certainly isn't a free-for-all, Mark. And, you know, we have been very careful in telling businesses that they, you know, they need to think twice before opting for it. This is a complex scheme. The unemployment benefit, I suppose you could fairly call it, it's more free for all in that it has immediately and substantially uplifted the unemployment assistance payment very substantially. And that's available to everyone effectively without, you know, without any sort of preconditions other than they had a job before this. So, you know, I understand that there are cases where people are being who might have worked reduced hours before COVID struck, who are now making more on the unemployment benefit than they were making before. So to that extent, it is quite strange, given all the terms and conditions and legal strings that were written into the wage subsidy scheme. But I suppose it is to reflect the fact that the wage subsidy scheme is paid into a business. It's paid into a company, whereas the other one is paid direct to an individual. But you're absolutely right to say that this is going to be extremely expensive for the state. One of the things that ISMI has been most agitated about for the last number of years is that from a peak unemployment bill of 16% back in the teeth of the Great Recession in 2011, our social protection bill was just under 20 billion euro. And today, prior to COVID-19, with unemployment down at 4.8%, it was still 20 billion euro. So our spend on social protection is about to rocket, because Ireland got no social dividend from the reduction in unemployment. And that will be something we will be considering for a very long time after the dust settles on this.
Neil, I had quite a few questions for you, but in actual fact, since you've been on, my screen in front of me has filled up with questions from listeners, and I think they should take priority. I don't know whether you're qualified to ask or answer a lot of these, but I'm going to throw them to you. If you can, you can. If you can't, you just say so. Okay. Here's one. I've been informed by my employer that as of the 1st of April, I would be receiving a 40% pay reduction on my basic salary, and also would receive no commission as it's based on invoice sales, of which there's likely to be none. Regarding the COVID-19 unemployment form, I'm still employed, still expected to work full-time hours. However, my pay has been cut heavily. Should I seek written communication from my employer stating the above? What are my entitlements regarding pay reduction subsidies?
I'm not going to go on into a long treatise on employment law today, Mark, because it's not my field of qualification. What I will say is that business owners and business managers are doing a lot of things to try and keep their business afloat. They should be doing all this by communication with their staff. I mean, I'm having to do it with our staff. There is no excuse for not communicating with your staff, even when you have to take some fairly rough measures. But I would also say to people employed in businesses, you know, the options facing a lot of businesses today are actually quite stark. So you need to understand what the relative position of that business is in the marketplace, because what we let's put it in big numbers, Mark. Before this started, Ireland had roughly 270,000 small and medium enterprises in the country. That figure is going to be considerably smaller in 6 months.
Okay. One thing you can say to this particular texter is that they should absolutely seek written communication from their employer stating the changes that are being made and why. Yes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And there is no reason, there is no reputable employer that has any reason to refuse to do that.
Well, it's a good rule in life. Get it in writing, isn't it? Okay, here's another one. I'm a student. I usually work at a hotel either 1 or 2 days of the weekends. Hotel is closed, so I applied and have received the €350 payment. My question is, my wages don't come anywhere like 350, except at holiday times, for example, Easter, summer and Christmas. Will I be asked to pay back any of the 350 when things get back to normal?
This was the point I made earlier. I understand not that this is the equivalent of a social protection payment. We're talking about the unemployment benefit here. As I understand it, that is the payment that applies for this. That is subject to correction from the Department of Social and Employment Affairs. But no, we understand that the 350 is the 350.
Right. Can people who are working full time but were also receiving, say, for example, the widow's pension and estate pension, are able to claim the COVID payments? For example, the 70% government contribution with the work top-up payment for those on temporary layoff.
The broader, I'm just dealing with this from the company point of view, so I wouldn't go into wider areas of people who have separate incomes.
Okay, grand. I'm self-employed. I have cash reserves, but I am not on the essential business list and I'm at home. Am I entitled to COVID payment, or any COVID payment?
The self-employed, for some very bizarre reason, Mark, are only entitled to the unemployment benefit. They are not entitled to the wage subsidy scheme. Again, another, please don't ask me why that is the case. And I don't know who in the public service dreamt up that, but it, for the self-employed, it's the unemployment payment they avail of.
Okay. People will not have money to pay all the bills during and after this crisis. Imagine the electric bills that they're going to be coming in. We've had banks and some of the large financial institutions, having freezes and giving people derogations, etc., etc. What's the story with utility companies? Do you know? Is there any effort been made to get them to give people deferrals or that they can hold off on ESB bills, etc., etc.? Do you know?
I don't know, but what I would say to that question, Mark, is typically when we look at the scale of our creditors, and this would be the way for most businesses, the wage bill would be the largest. The staff are effectively the largest creditor in a lot of businesses. Either the revenue or the bank is the next largest creditor. Possibly after that, generally after that, if you don't have material production costs, the next one after that will be utilities. It's very significant cost for some. So where people are at home, one would expect that in the case of a business that's shuttered, the utility cost is going to be fairly low. But yes, you're absolutely correct. For people who are now home working and the gas and electricity is going all day, people are going to find utility bills rising substantially. If you have an inability to pay, as with anything, with the revenue, you contact the entity to whom you owe, and you ask, you tell them your problem, you stay in touch with them, and you negotiate with them. Do not pretend the problem is going to go away of its own accord.
Okay, Neil, there's a dozen more questions there. I could keep you for another hour. I won't. Thank you so much for your time. That's Neil MacDonald, CEO of the Irish SME Association. Thank you to everybody who texted in with questions on that, and apologies to you if we didn't get to them. We will keep them here, and who knows, maybe Pat can help and follow up with those things next.